The epistle for today, the 15th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk. Let us not become desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, even if a person is caught doing something wrong, you who are spiritual, instruct such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, whereas he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let everyone test his own work, and so he will have glory in himself only, and not in comparison with another. For each one will bear his own burden. And let him who is instructed in the word share all good things with his teacher. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For what a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows in the flesh, from the flesh will also reap corruption. But he who sows in the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap life everlasting. And in doing good, let us not grow tired, for in due time we shall reap if we do not relax. Therefore, while we have time, let us do good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from that of St. Luke. At that time, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. And as he drew near the gate of the town, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large gathering from the town was with her. And the Lord, seeing her, had compassion on her, and said to her, "Do not weep." And he went up and touched the stretcher, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." And he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he gave him to his mother. But fear seized upon all, and they began to glorify God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Let's begin with the Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And he gave him to his mother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On the morning of August 6, 1945, Father Hubert Schiffer, who had just finished saying Mass, went into the rectory and sat down at the breakfast table. He had just sat down at the table when there was a bright flash of light. His first thought was that it was an explosion in the harbor. And then, in the words of Father Schiffer, suddenly a terrific explosion filled the air with one bursting thunderstroke. An invisible force lifted me from the chair and hurled me through the air. Well, the next thing he remembered, he was lying on the ground. He opened his eyes and he looked, and in every direction he could see nothing. The railway station was gone. The buildings in every direction were leveled to the ground. The only physical harm to him, however, was that he could feel a few pieces of glass in the back of his neck. So while the city of Hiroshima, in which he lived, was demolished by this atomic bomb blast, and while every other person who was within a radius of 1.5 kilometers from the center of the explosion died immediately, instantly killing 80,000, and although Father Schiffer and his fellow Jesuits were only 8 blocks from the center of the bomb blast, all 8 members of the small Jesuit community in that house, just 8 blocks from ground zero, escaped unscathed. Even the church house where the Jesuits lived was still standing, while the buildings in every direction from it were leveled. To the doctor's absolute amazement, later, the Jesuits' bodies contained no radiation or ill effects from the bomb, no loss of hearing, no radiation sickness. And over 30 years after Hiroshima, all 8 members of the Jesuit community were still living. How did these 8 Jesuits survive? We'll let Father Schiffer answer. He said, quote, "We believe that we survived because we were living the message of Fatima. We lived and prayed the rosary daily in that house. In that house, the Holy Rosary was recited together every day." close quote. And like the eight men that survived in Noah's Ark and the destruction of the world, these eight Jesuits survived as they testified by the Holy Rosary. At the Jesuit house, that rosary was faithfully said. Now, what is so important about this devotion and the devotion to Our Blessed Mother? Can't God save the world without the help of Our Lady? Well, of course He can. He's Almighty God. But doesn't it do more honor, more glory to Almighty God to save the world through the means and through the instrumentality of one of His own creatures? That shows much more power in Almighty God. 1 Timothy 2:1 and following says, and this is St. Paul speaking to St. Timothy, "I desire therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all men, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all piety and chastity, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." He goes on to say that there is one mediator between God the Father and man, which is Christ Jesus. Okay? But note what he says first. "I desire that intercessions be made for all, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved." In other words, St. Paul himself is making a necessary link between the salvation of men and the intercessions offered for those men. And who better to intercede than the Mother of God, Mother of the Lord, as Luke 1:43 refers to her, the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. So, all of that intercession, as all of our prayers, go through our Lord, the one mediator between God. But that doesn't preclude having secondary mediators. If the continual prayer of the just man availeth much, as James 5:16 assures us that it does, then the prayer of the Mother of God availeth even more, offered, of course, as we do all our intercessory prayers, through Christ Jesus, the ultimate mediator between God and man. Remember that one mediatorship with the Father belonging to Christ Jesus doesn't exclude secondary mediators any more than the one source of Adam's life being God the Father didn't exclude the existence of secondary fathers after Adam. Okay? So, God does work through secondary causes, through intercessors. In the year 1214, Our Lady appeared to St. Dominic and asked him, "Dear Dominic, do you know which weapon the Blessed Trinity wants to use to reform the world? I want you to know that in this kind of warfare, the battering ram has always been the angelic psalter, which is the foundation stone of the New Testament." Our Lady then gave St. Dominic the three mysteries of the Holy Rosary, the joyful, sorrowful, and glorious mysteries comprised of meditations on the infancy, passion, and resurrection of our Lord, while offering up 50 Hail Marys. In other words, a total of 150 meditations through these three mysteries, offered with 150 Hail Marys, a New Testament mirror of the 150 Psalms. Well, what about the repetitious nature of this prayer? Would our Lord have prayed repetitiously like that? Well, we'll let Sacred Scripture give us the answer. One set of Psalms that Sacred Scripture does record our Lord as praying is called the Great Hallel, Psalms 112 through 117. Our Lord sang this with His disciples at the Last Supper, and indeed at each Passover. And the way this was sung is described by the Christian scholar Alfred Edersheim. He said, quote, "First, every first line was repeated by the people, and then to each of the other lines they responded, 'Praise ye the Lord.'" Close quote. So, the Great Hallel, that set of psalms, consists of 76 lines of psalms, and after each line, the same phrase was repeated by our Lord and His apostles 76 times at that most solemn event of the Passover. So, in one mystery of the Rosary, the same phrase, the Hail Mary, is repeated only 50 times. Our Lord has no problem with the repetition of a phrase as part of one's prayer, and He gave us His example. Now, why is this prayer so important? Well, we can see why it's so important in the effect that our Blessed Mother left with St. Dominic, the effect of that rosary. Once St. Dominic preached the rosary, forming the Dominican order to conquer the Albigensian heresy, after this, by the rosary, they conquered that heresy. Now, Sister Lucia, one of the children to whom Our Lady appeared at Fatima, said, quote, "Our Lady said to my cousins, as well as to myself, that God is giving two last remedies to the world. These are the Holy Rosary and devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. These are the two last remedies which signify that there will not be others." Close quote. Now, if we have any doubt as to Our Lady's intercessory power, as to the fact that Our Lady can and has had a decisive hand in even the very salvation of the physical world, yes, even with regard to the threat of world war, consider these following important dates. But before we consider them, let's recall first that there are several key dates which have honored Our Lady in history. May 13th, the feast of Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of the Rosary, the anniversary of her first apparition in Fatima. August 15th, the Feast of the Assumption of Our Lady. And then December 8th, the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady. May 13th, August 15th, December 8th. And of course, August 15th and December 8th are both holy days of obligation. Now, let's consider some important dates that dealt with the closing of the greatest threat to the physical survival of the planet during World War II, and then during the Cold War afterwards, that time in which the United States lived under the constant threat of a nuclear war with the Soviet Union. So during World War II, Venerable Pope Pius XII consecrated the world to Our Lady on December 8, 1942, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Now, this was not the consecration of Russia, as she had asked for. It was the consecration of the world, okay? But it was pleasing to our Lord that Pope Pius XII did consecrate the world, and so there were results from this. Now, he did this in December of 1942, and note what Winston Churchill wrote about early 1943. He said that the hinges of fate turned in early 1943. This is just after the Pope's consecration. Before that time, the Allies had lost every major battle. After that, they began and they won every major conflict. So, in fact, months after that, just months after it, the German and Italian forces in Africa surrendered on May 13th, 1943, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Later, in 1945, the Japanese Emperor Hirohito announced the surrender of Japan to the United States, ending World War II. This announcement ending the war took place on August 15, 1945, the Feast of the Assumption of Our Lady into Heaven. During the 1960s, the Cold War was underway. The United States and the Soviet Union were in the nuclear arms race. But in 1966, the U.S. and the Soviet Union actually managed to sign a treaty to prohibit nuclear arms in space. This treaty was signed on December 8, 1966, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. In 1987, the INF Treaty was signed. This is the first fundamental treaty of the Soviet Union with the United States for the reduction of nuclear armaments, and in fact the very elimination of ground nuclear armaments or Euro missiles in Europe. And it was signed on December 8, 1987, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Then in 1991, the Soviet Union was liquidated. The threat of the Cold War, that imminent threat, was set aside. Okay, and this event, this liquidation of the Soviet Union, took place on December 8, 1991, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. This was also the date when Leningrad, the city which was renamed after the founder of the revolution, Lenin, returned to calling itself St. Petersburg. Little known before that is that in 1984, while losing the nuclear arms race with the West, The Soviet Union considered the option of making a preemptive attack on Western Europe. They were seriously considering this, and while the Kremlin considered this option, they were actually thinking about going to war here in 1984, a sudden explosion at the military arsenal in Severomorsk on the North Sea destroyed two-thirds of all the missiles stockpiled for the North Fleet. Military historians called it the most devastating blow to the Soviet Navy since World War II, and this canceled their imminent war with the West in 1984. That explosion, which dissuaded the Soviets from war, happened on May 13th, 1984, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of the Rosary. We're coming up on the month of the Rosary, October. Now, I know many of us do say the Rosary every day. If we don't, why don't we consider taking up that habit? If we don't, why don't we sit down and calculate how much time we do spend actively praying with God? Do the math at home. Figure out what percentage of your day you actually spend in prayer, getting ready for the next life, the eternal life. And then consider praying a 15-minute daily rosary. If we do pray the daily rosary, why not consider praying an extra rosary each week? One extra rosary each week. How much is that? We can consider doing this to console our Blessed Mother. Because think about what our Lord is doing by this. Remember the widow woman in today's gospel. Our Lord had compassion on her because she was a widow woman who had lost her only son. Well, Our Lady at the foot of the cross as she left Calvary was also a widow woman who had lost her only son. And if we don't think that our Lord has a human heart that loves divinely and has a love for his Blessed Mother and wants to give her something for all she suffered, watching her son suffer for us, for our sins, then we don't yet know our Blessed Lord. Consider consoling this mother of yours. And yes, she is our mother, as Revelation 12:17 tells us. We know there that it says the dragon went to make war on the woman who was the mother of the one who was to rule all the nations. He went to make war on the woman and the rest of her seed, those who bear testimony to Jesus Christ and keep the commandments. So according to the Bible, according to Revelation 12:17, if we bear testimony to Jesus and keep his commandments, we are a seed. We are the children of this woman. Console this mother of yours. Take up the Holy Rosary. Remember that this is a weapon of mass destruction. Think about that stockpile of armaments. It's a mass destruction. It destroys sin. It destroys vice. It decapitates pride, as St. Bernard says. The humble act of offering these prayers and these meditations to our Lord, that is what's going to save the world. That's an act of humility. That's an act of humility. Remember what Our Lady told St. Dominic. Do you know which weapon the Blessed Trinity wants to use to reform the world? Remember Father Schiffer and how he was saved by the Holy Rosary, physically was saved. A sign of what Our Lady wants to do for us spiritually by our meditating upon the mysteries of the Holy Rosary, the infancy, passion, and death of our Blessed Lord, while consoling our Blessed Mother through the Hail Mary. We'll close with one last story. And this was reported in the Daily Mail in Great Britain in August 2010. A British soldier in Afghanistan, Glenn Hockton, age 19, was on patrol when the rosary that he had around his neck suddenly fell from his neck. He said he felt something like a slap on the back, and then he saw his rosary on the ground, and he bent down to pick it up. As he bent down to pick up the rosary, he realized that he was standing on a landmine. Now, the landmine is activated when the foot is taken off the mine, so he had stopped just in time before that landmine would be detonated. Well, he stood there for 45 terrifying minutes while his fellow soldiers managed to safely disarm the mine and get him off safely. And he later discovered that his rosary had not broken. He can't explain how it fell from his neck, but there it was. This wasn't the first time this happened to him. Well, I shouldn't say to him, but to a member of his family. His great-grandfather, Joseph Truman, was also a soldier in World War II. And after being captured towards the end of the war, Joseph Truman and other prisoners were forced to march away from the advancing Allied armies. And he was walking across a field with half a dozen of his platoon, and he saw something on the ground. He bent down to pick it up. And just at that instant, a sudden bomb blast struck, and because he was bent down to pick that thing up, he was the only one to survive the blast. As you might guess, the object that he had bent down to pick up was a rosary that just happened to be lying in that field. Let's console our Blessed Mother. Let's take up this spiritual weapon. It will change lives. I've seen it happen. I could go on with stories, but there's not enough time here. But it will change lives. It will bring about conversions. If you have a family member that has not been converted, say an extra rosary a day for that person. I know someone who did that, and it took 4 weeks, and they saw a change. And in another couple of months, that person was asking questions about the faith. Within 4 months, that person was back to the faith, an ardent Catholic. Yes, it takes a little extra work, because God's teaching us something. Souls cost something. Obviously, that cost was paid for on the cross, but our Lord wants us to know how much it cost Him by our experiencing some sort of suffering, some sort of sharing in the cross, so we realize how much that costs, how much one soul is worth. May God bless you, and may Our Lady of the Rosary pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.